Seek an interest in your prayers this morning. Trust that together as we look at the scriptures, we might be inspired to move forward. The message I'd like to share with you this morning, I want you, for an opening scripture, I want you to go to Matthew 16. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And right the next verses you see Jesus answer to him. And I'd like to think about your true identity in Jesus Christ this morning. What defines you? What defines me this morning? Who are you? Who am I? Our culture that we live in generally encourages us to look inside of ourselves for that answer, or to define ourselves by what we do, how we look, and how others see us. What about you this morning? Do you define yourself based on the world's values? What you do, your physical appearance, what others say about you, how culture defines you, maybe your past mistakes or your social status, personality tests. What about you this morning? Sad to say, in our society today, many believe that's the answer. If you are a Christian this morning, there's a lot of good news for you in the scriptures. And we're going to look at a number of facts this morning. As a believer this morning, your true identity is found in Jesus Christ. Is it that way? God will tell you who you are. Once you understand this morning your true identity in Christ, you can then navigate life complexities, life's complexities, and face daily struggles with confidence and peace. You can live confidentially and purposefully, grounded in the biblical truths of God's Word. So this morning we want to explore 10 facts of who you really are in Jesus Christ. Number one, your true identity in Christ this morning begins with being born again when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus, when you surrender it all to Him. Since your true identity is in Christ Jesus this morning, let's consider what that really means. Being in Christ is more than just having, it's more than believing in Him. It means being united with Jesus as a result of your faith in Him. When you believe in Jesus, you are spiritually born again. You become entirely a new creature. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is being Christ, he is a new creature. The old man has passed away, and all have become new. You receive a completely new identity when you are born again. The Bible says there's no entrance into the kingdom of heaven except you have been born again. That means your old life of sin, He says He removes them as far away as the east is from the west. The Old Testament, the blood of those animals only covered sin. God removes them. Believers are united with Christ and indwelled by the Holy Spirit, Our brother talked about that in devotion. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. We become partakers of the divine nature according to 2 Peter 1:4. When you're in Christ, God no longer defines you as a creature of sin or failure. He sees you through Jesus, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. By comparison, your identity is no longer based on who you were, but on who you are, the new creature in Christ Jesus. That is your new identity. Your old self, the part of you that was enslaved in sin, is gone. As a child of God, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're made alive in Christ Jesus. This doesn't mean you'll never struggle. But now you are united with Jesus and have the power, according to Romans 6, 4, you have the power to live a new life in Christ Jesus. Remember, Satan is ever busy trying to bring you back into struggle. The second fact in your identity in Christ Jesus is that God knows your true identity intimately. Would you like to know a profound and humbling thought? That God has known you intimately for eternity. He told Jeremiah, "I knew you before you were born." God knew who you were and who you will be before you were born. You are here. It's no accident that you are here this morning. But God brought you into existence for a purpose for Him. He created you, according to Genesis 1:27, He created you in His own image to serve Him and to glorify Him. First thing to remember is that as a Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of God. And the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you, the personality of God that dwells within you and guides you into every decision of life. As you'll find in 1 Corinthians 3:17. And the third fact is this. You are loved. You are chosen by God. And you are adopted into the family of God. Never forget that. You're loved by God, you're chosen by God, and you're adopted into His family. Moreover, God loved you so much that He chose you to be His child. What kind of love is that? That we should be called, according to 1 John 3:1, that we should be called the children of God. We don't earn that kind of love. But it's because of His great mercy that He loved us. Your worth is not based on your performance, but on God's perfect love that He so freely gives us. Even when you feel forgotten or unimportant, remember these truths. In Christ, you are. You can simply jot some of these scriptures down. You find that in John 1:12, that you are God's child. You will find in Ephesians 1:3 to 8, purposefully chosen. God chose you. He brought you into existence. Again, 1 John 3:1, He deeply loves you. 1 Peter 2:9, you can feel entirely accepted by Him. Furthermore, as a child of God, you have a new name, a new family, and a new future. In fact, you are beloved sons and daughters of God. What a wonderful thought to be part of the family of God. We're not just a servant. You received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, according to Romans 8:15. Adoption means full inclusion into the family. The rights, the love, the inheritance that comes from being part of God's family, part of God's household. There's a great inheritance that awaits you and I. Consequently, you can rest in security of your new family. Yes, it might cost us our life, as it did Paul's. It might cost us lots yet. We don't know. Therefore, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children. Nothing can separate us from the love of God except we allow it. Romans 8:38-39. Nothing can separate us from the love of God except we allow it to. Fact number four, that you are identifying with the Lord Jesus, is that you are redeemed, you're forgiven, you're justified and made righteous before God. You are redeemed, forgiven, justified, and made righteous. Wow, that says a lot right there. That's a lot to take in, but it's worth taking the time to understand and to think about that very thought. To think about those words separately, because they are such wonderful aspects of your true identity in Jesus Christ. They are all related to Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. To begin with, redemption means Jesus paid the price for you and I. He paid a debt he didn't owe, and we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Do we appreciate when we take communion? Just appreciate anew, again, be reminded to thank the Lord for what he's done for you and I. God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. That forgiveness, we don't have to carry the guilt or shame. But through Jesus, our past is washed away by the blood of the Lamb. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we were justified. And that God has declared us not guilty. Not guilty. Finally, being made righteous means that you are in a right standing with him. All is washed away. Jesus took your sins upon himself. He washed us whiter than snow. The fifth fact is this. Number five, you are secure in Jesus Christ. Things keep getting better when you consider your true identity in Jesus. Whatever it may cost us in the future. That is to say, after genuinely repenting of your sins and placing your faith in Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:9-10. Your salvation in God. Most importantly, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Remember that. He will never reject us. If we find ourselves and we come up short at the end of life, it's because we have separated ourselves from God. Jesus emphatically said in Luke 10:20 that your name is written in heaven. Your name is in the book of life. If your name is removed from the book of life, it's because you have rejected him. Another fact is that you are a part of the body of Christ. You are a part of the church, the bride that he's coming for. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are not alone. You belong to something much bigger than yourself. You are part of God's family. You are part of the bride of Christ that someday he's coming for. We need each other this morning as we journey through life. Every believer has a place and a purpose in life. And when one part suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. The Bible says, weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. It's wonderful to belong to the family of God. But we can't experience that into its fullest as we, when there becomes strife in the church. In the seventh place, you are empowered and gifted. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you are gifted by God to do his work. You have a purpose in the body of Christ. Maybe you feel like sometimes you're not being used. There's a place for everyone to do God's work, and the work is great. You have spiritual gifts. You have special abilities as part of the bride of Christ, given by the Holy Spirit to serve others. You find that in 1 Corinthians 12:4. We are here to serve the Lord, and part of serving the Lord is serving others. Your gift matters to the Lord and to the church. Whether you teach, or whether you encourage others, or whether you give help to others, or whether you lead, your work is important. I maybe shared this before, but when my father-in-law passed away, many people said what a great encourager he was. And that blessed my heart. But am I that? May God help me to be that. Number eight, you are God's workmanship. That is part of what identifies you with Jesus Christ. Without a doubt, God created you for a purpose. You are not an accident. You are his masterpiece that he wants to use in the work of his kingdom. Because some of these relate a little bit together, but you are God's workmanship. You have a gift, you have talents, and a mission. Make sure you use that for God. He gave you these gifts to reflect his goodness, to reflect his love to those, number one, in the family of God, and to your community around you. I believe that we need to take this purpose very seriously. There may be some days that are rather hard. Just remember that your life has a value because God worked through you. That's what makes you valuable in the world. The world wants you to identify with the things of the world. Dear Christian friends, we must identify with Jesus Christ. Where is your identity this morning? Where is mine? You can find that in Ephesians 2:10. Number nine, your true identity in Christ Jesus means you are a citizen of heaven. We are only here temporarily. Time is moving very rapidly. The end may be soon. But if not, we'll eventually all go through the valley of the shadow of death. It's important to remember that this world is not your home, and we are not here forever. You belong to God's kingdom. Having this eternal perspective should bring you peace during the very challenging times of life. But your citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you faithful in serving Him? Am I faithful in serving Him? I believe that if we identify as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, it should determine what kind of things we do. It should determine everything we do materially, the houses we build, the properties we have. Do we build like we're planning to stay here? May God help us to live and identify with Jesus Christ that we're only but here for a time, a short window of time. Because it's hard for me to imagine we're 72 years have gone. Number 10, you identify with Jesus Christ, it means you are being transformed into something God wants you to be. Even though you are saved, God is not finished with you. God is still working on you. He's still working on me. And it will never end until you die or until the Lord comes. As a result, you are being changed from the inside out. Each day, the Holy Spirit helps you grow more like Jesus. And that is called progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. That's a span of time from the time you become a Christian till you reach heaven. It's a lifelong journey of growth, but God promises to finish the work He started in you. Found in Philippians 1:6. We all are being transformed into what God wants us to be. May we continue to resign ourselves to the will of God as He leads us and guides us. Number 11. You are victorious in Christ. It is possible for you to live in victory. Don't ever feel defeated, no matter who your mother and father were, no matter who your family was. You don't have to live in defeat. Life can become quite messy at times and very challenging, but your true identity in Christ Jesus means you are victorious. You are never a victim of circumstances. And don't let Satan tell you that. Because you are never alone or without hope. Through Jesus, you have victory. You can be victorious over sin and death and the enemy, Satan himself. Because of your true identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. You fight from victory to victory. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Again, as you read in Romans 8:37. In other words, no matter what comes your way, you can stand. You can stand firm knowing that God is with you. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:57. May God help us to see that and to live in victory. As I mentioned, you're not alone. That's number 12. You're not alone. Jesus promised to be with you as long as we stay in his kingdom work, as long as we stay linked with him. At the end of his great commission, Christ promised, and behold, I am with you always. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 20, whether you're feeling joyful, lonely, he's right there. We can turn to God. Number 13, your identity in Jesus Christ means that you are called to live differently than the world around you. You are called, and I am called, to live differently than the world around you. Let's go to Colossians 3. I'm going to read some of that scripture this morning. Chapter 3, I'm going to read the first 17 verses of that chapter. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in that which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bound nor free, but Christ in all is all in and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bound of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Your true identity in Jesus Christ this morning will identify means you are called to live differently. So set your heart set your heart on things alone where Christ is seated. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated. Put to death sinful earthly natures such as sexual immorality and impurity, and the list that it gives from verses 3 to 5. Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Those are the things that will identify you with God. Let the peace of Jesus Christ rule in your heart. Therefore, knowing your true identity changes how you live. Not to earn God's love, but because you already have it. It should affect how we live, how we talk, and what we do. Number 14, and the last one, is that we are ambassadors for Christ. What does the world see in you? And what does the world see in me? Are we here as ambassadors of the heavenly kingdom? Or are we telling them something else by the things that identify us here in this earth? Representing Jesus means living unlike the surrendering culture. We are ambassadors for Christ. We find that in 2 Corinthians 5:20. God is making his appeals to the world through you and I as his instruments. As an ambassador of Christ, your words and your actions are going to speak such. And it shows this true love and hope to the world around you. You represent the good news of salvation. Do you struggle to believe your true identity in Christ this morning? Too often, there's obstacles that stick up that prevent you from accepting and recognizing your true identity in Jesus Christ. Satan is out to trap us. Feeling overwhelmed by past things in your life. Near constant exposure to things that are not, that things that are evil, the social media. Amplifies feelings of inadequacy by promoting unrealistic standards and comparisons. If you have struggled with some of these things, you're not alone. God is here to help you. I want to think just a bit in closing yet, just some practical ways. As you think about identifying your true identity, here's a few single steps I'm going to share with you in closing to overcome doubts. Some practical things to overcome doubts and struggles that you might be facing and live out your genuine identity in Christ Jesus. Number one, reflect daily on just one of these 14 truths so you get them all riveted in your heart. Write them down, memorize it. Say it aloud if you have to. Ask God to help you to believe that. Secondly, surrender yourself. Surround yourself with other believers. We need each other in this world today. Ask brothers to stand by you. Get their advice. Thirdly, take your mind off yourself by purposefully serving others. Think about the needs of others and not about yourself. Too many times our thoughts center around the things that we're struggling with. Get your mind on someone else. Use your spiritual gifts that God has given you to build others up and to glorify God. In the fourth place, speak the truth. Choose to believe God's word. In the fifth place, pray boldly to God. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Confidently, knowing that you are being heard by God. In the sixth place, let your conduct embody compassion, kindness, and humility in daily interactions. Guard your mind. Be careful with what you watch and what you listen to. Remember that the ears and eyes that God give you are the gateway to your mind. Fill your mind with the truths of God's word. God wants us to do that. Call to action. Live in light of your true identity. Jesus has given you a new name. Jesus has given you a new purpose. He has given you a new life when you give your heart to Him. Whenever you forget who you are, return to the Scriptures and see who you really are. That is your identity in Jesus Christ this morning. I didn't spend a lot of time this morning talking about the false identities of the world today that sometimes rub off on us. But know your true identity in Jesus Christ is the important thing. In conclusion, become your true identity in Jesus Christ. Work on it. Basically, your true identity in Christ must be lived out in your daily life and in my daily life. Even if the world tells you you're not enough, remember, God says you are His child. When you're weak, He says you're more than a conqueror. Our greatest need today is to become who we already are in Christ Jesus, staying rooted in your true identity in Christ will protect you from seeking your true identity in the world today. Finally, the more you remember who you are in Christ, the more you will grow in joy and purpose and confidence. Let your new identity shape your thinking, shape your life. Let the world may see who really you are. Let your new identity shape how you think, live, and love others. You're not who the world says you are. But who God says you are. So today, remember this. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are chosen. And you are His. May God bless you as you continue to live for Him. Shall we kneel for prayer? Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Oh Lord, as we looked into the scriptures and we saw what should be our identity, help me to examine my life and help my brothers and sisters together that we may claim that true identity in Jesus Christ. And not try to be somebody that the world adores. That they might see us as a true light of your kingdom, Lord. Help each one to be faithful. Help each mother and father this morning to guide their families. We know that Satan is attacking the home. Satan is attacking the church. But if he can destroy the homes, he's destroying the church. I pray, dear God, help us to be more than conquerors. You have created everything we need to live for you. That's what we ask in your name. Amen.